Hello and welcome to episode 140 of The Tech Reformation, where the world of technology meets the worldview of Christianity. My name is Ben, and I am here with Craig Ellis.
Hey, how's it going?
On this episode, we'll be talking about MoviePass. I will give an overview here in a moment of the checkered history of the company, and then Craig and I will dialogue over my own experience with MoviePass just a little bit. So stick around, it should be a fun one. And MoviePass, the subscription movie theater company, has had quite a bit of a checkered history. It all began back in July 2011 when their first beta attempted to let users see one movie per day in San Francisco. They were trying to be the Netflix of movie theaters, but it all came crashing down when 19,000 people signed up in a single day and theaters were resistant to letting them in. Then we fast forward a year into October 2012 when a new beta version launched with prices between $29 and $34 per month. Then 2 years later, in December 2014, AMC entered into this whole story with a partnership with MoviePass. They did so somewhat begrudgingly, but they decided that it was a big mistake to miss out on this subscription movie service change. And then we fast forward quite a bit more to August 2017 when MoviePass dropped their price to $9.95 per month. That price point change ended the AMC partnership, but more than 150,000 new users signed up in just 2 days following the announcement. AMC at the time contended the price point was unsustainable. And then a few months later, in December of 2017, 1 million new subscribers had signed up in just 4 months. The company's CEO, Mitch Lowe, said MoviePass will make money by collecting and selling data about the tastes and habits of consumers. Then in April of the next year, 2018, this year, the subscriber base approached 3 million people, but glitches, shifts in service, and delays in membership card delivery abounded. The company asserted that it had plenty of money to get through the next year. In June, MoviePass Ventures released a film starring John Travolta about a mobster named John Gotti, but it received a 0% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Also, AMC launched their own movie subscription service for $20 a month, taking shots at MoviePass for being unsustainable once again. The next month in July, MoviePass had the worst service outage ever and borrowed $5 million to pay its bills. And then, this month, as we're recording this, August of 2018, MoviePass has now limited its users to 3 movies per month as their standard plan, and they are cycling through only 2 different available movie choices per day at theaters. And that brings us from the beginning to what looks like an end for MoviePass.
And didn't one of their executives just resign like yesterday as well? Or the day before? I saw a headline that said something to that effect. So, well, not good either.
I'll just say, with my own history of MoviePass usage, I am about to cancel my service after all of the ups and downs and roller coastering.
Why would you do that?
Yeah. One would wonder, given the last few minutes. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't wonder that at all. Yeah, I guess just real quickly, I signed up in February of this year. So I've been on it for 8 months. I'm paying the $9.95 a month plan for me and my wife. So it's two of those, one for each of us.
Yeah.
And in the first 3 months, I saw 3 movies per month. One time, I saw 2 movies in 2 days. I don't know why, but I did. And in the last 8 months, I've seen 16 movies with MoviePass. But now, when I open the app to try and see a movie that I want to see, maybe like Mission Impossible, for example, which I heard was great, I can't do it unless it's the right day of the week. It's the worst.
Yeah.
They've also introduced peak pricing, where if you go at popular times, it's like a $4 or $5 upcharge in the app.
Oh, okay. That's not good from a consumer standpoint. I think, you know, when you're competing with things like Netflix and movies on demand and the stay at home option, sort of restricting the options for people to use stuff like this is always going to be a turnoff. You know, it's always going to be a reason not to bother with the subscription if you restrict the days people can see it on, or even some of the restrictions in number of movies and stuff per month is, yeah. I don't know. I can see why if I signed up way back at the beginning, I would be pretty hesitant to continue at this point.
Yeah, I just feel kind of robbed because I was promised one thing and now I'm getting a totally different thing. And I understand like making changes to your business model, especially early on, so that you can stay afloat. Like I get that. Mm-hmm. And I also get that, you know, $10 a month covers less than the price of one movie ticket where I am. I think a movie ticket now in Memphis is like $11.50 for a non-matinee. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they were set to lose money just on, you know, expenses and revenue. And so they had to figure out something. And I guess the original plan was to sell data, but then midway through they said, no, 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 we're not going to sell your data. Quit freaking out. It's okay.
Yeah, when that becomes people's primary business model and they're open about it, it's not, it doesn't often work out so well either. I think the other thing that, I mean, just looking at it, you know, I agree. When companies like this start up, you kind of expect them to have a little bit of a rocky period while they kind of find their feet and work out what is sustainable and what's not, and make those sort of decisions to change models and whatever moving forward. But this goes back to mid-2011. So they've had, what, like 7 years now of being in the marketplace and trying to work out what works, and they're still changing to try and make things work, and it doesn't seem, they don't seem to have found their level, you know, like they've constantly been readjusting, and I don't know that that's because the industry's changed all that much. You know, I don't think AMC would have changed that much in those 7 years in terms of their pricing and stuff like that, but then again, I don't live in America.
Right. It really became a thing when people started, I mean, obviously a bunch of people started signing on in August 2017 when the price point dropped to $10, about $10 a month.
Yeah.
And at that point, AMC had said, kind of like I mentioned, that that was unsustainable. Their service has come out at twice that, $20 a month, which still seems reasonable to me as long as I go see two movies a month, which I don't know if I would. Like some months, there aren't two movies I want to see. But I was just looking back at my history in the app. It shows you every movie you've seen with the service. And I was just out of curiosity. I wondered, is this actually paying off? And yeah, it turns out I've seen about an average of two a month. So some months it's more, some it's less, but yeah, $20 seems reasonable and is apparently sustainable. I don't know why they didn't just start there. Now, would they have had the explosive growth they had if they had started there? Maybe not. But the whole business model of pay one price a month and get unlimited movie tickets seems really cool. And I've seen, there's a really great YouTube video out there, which we can put in the show notes by, I think it's by Nerdwriter, and it talks about why MoviePass hasn't worked. They ran some numbers originally that said, you know, the average moviegoer sees, I think it's like a half movie a month on average. And so their price point works for the average person. The trouble is, it's all the super users like me who got on the front end. And so they are spending way more than they're, and they're all doing it with, you know, VC money or, you know, just being funded by rich billionaires. And so, you know, they're just eating through cash, hopefully until hoping that they'll hit scale when it'll work. And so if they scale at like, you know, 5, 10, 20 million users, then it'll, the math will work out. Based on the average number of movies people see, but they just haven't gotten there fast enough. And so they're burning through all their cash and they're going to die if they don't figure something out, which is why all the changes lately.
I mean, part of me wonders as well, like, obviously they sort of got on to this, you know, quite a while ago and were trying to, I mentioned in our sort of pre-show, you know, some similarities with Uber. In terms of coming into a marketplace from completely outside that was already existing with the taxi world and kind of changing the way it works in a sort of significant way that then probably upset some of the people who are already in that, or definitely did upset some of the people who are already in that space. It seems like they've just sort of tried to, like I said, find the level and work it out over time. And now AMC are going, well, we're just going to do this. And we know, you know, obviously they seem to think that's going to work for them. I'm assuming they've done a little bit more pre-planning to make sure that that will be sustainable for them as a business. Part of me wonders why these sort of external companies that haven't, they're not in the movie business, but they get into the movie business thinking, oh yeah, we'll just price it here. And then it doesn't work over time. You know, then they end up with $5 million worth of bills that they can't pay and they have to get extra funding for. I wonder, there's something about that kind of It seems like in the tech world, especially, like, people have a great idea for an app and they go, oh, we could have an app that does this and it'll make life easier in this way. It'll mean you can go and see movies much easier and you can choose which ones and all that kind of thing. You can get in, you know, by selecting the movie on your phone and then pay with your card and you're off to the races kind of thing. But, you know, there are already companies like AMC that could be doing a similar thing if they thought it was sustainable and if they thought it would work. So I guess there's always a danger for those third party companies. There's possibility they can come in and actually redefine it in a good way and it works for them. But there's also a danger that they come in to an existing marketplace and flop. And that seems like what's happening here. Although, you know, it'd be interesting to see if these latest changes head them on an upward curve. You mentioned unlimited movies, and I still think there's a pretty big difference between unlimited movies and 3 movies a month.
Because yeah,
I think
I agree.
That's quite an interesting, like, if it was unlimited movies, I'm just thinking for myself and my wife. I mean, we're in the stage of life where we're having and raising little kids, and so I've seen 2 movies in 12 months kind of thing. It's not something that we're doing frequently, but if that was an option, I think that'd probably be more attractive to more people and they'd be willing to pay a bit more for it. But to me, some of the limits that they have to put on it in order to make it sustainable make it less of an attractive option.
So I think I'm probably, I have no data to back this up, so I don't even know if I should say this, but I was surprised to find that I averaged 3 movies a month. I never went to more than three, or excuse me, I averaged 2. I never went to more than 3 in a single month. I was surprised to find that because I thought the same thing you did when I looked at competitor service Cinema, which their highest plan goes up to 3 movies a month. Mm-hmm. For a bit much higher rate as well.
Is that Cinemia or whatever it's called? It starts with an S?
Maybe it's pronounced that way. I just thought it was pronounced Cinema.
I think it's got an extra I after the A. But
very
anyway.
Possibly so. Either way, I thought, I can't switch because I need more than 3 movies a month. Well, I don't, actually, turns out. And I was surprised to find that earlier today as I was looking at the history, like I mentioned. I will say, I've taken shots on this show at capitalism a bunch. And to clear the air, I do think it's the best of all the terrible systems. Like, there's not a better one. But the problem isn't with the system, it's with the human heart, as I think mm-hmm. I've been clear about. But I will also say, this is one of the better success stories of capitalism, in my opinion, because I think with AMC specifically, they never were going to change things up. As far as I know, mm-hmm. they were doing fine, right? I mm-hmm. think they're the biggest movie theater company in at least the United States, maybe the world. And there was no indication they would ever go to some sort of subscription service, but they basically were forced into it because of all of the accolades that MoviePass had been getting. Now, the price mm-hmm. point is different. It's twice the amount, but $20 a month for 2 movies or 3 movies is still better than paying the movie ticket price. And this is capitalism working, I think. So I kind of like that.
Do you think there's ever a time when, because it seems like for a long time, the movie industry itself, let alone things like MoviePass, but the actual cinema chains were struggling to the point where they were wondering if they would stay open long term. And there's been lots of talk about, you know, they make their money off the candy bar and all that kind of thing.
Right. The $5 candy bar, keep in mind.
The what?
The $5 candy bar. It's never like a reasonable price. It's like five or six times what you would expect to pay.
That's right, yeah. So I wonder if it would ever work for these places to go to a 24/7 gym membership model where people pay a significant amount more. I don't know what a gym membership costs because I don't have one at the moment. But you know, people pay a significant amount more and they actually get something closer to an unlimited movies experience. I think that would be terrible for some people's lifestyle. You'd find some people just living at the cinema, most likely. I don't know how they would afford it, but it's probably possible. But I do wonder if that's where any of this is heading, whether this is kind of an early stages of that as a development for the industry. What do you think? Do you think that would ever open it up to that kind of a system, or do you think that's just too hard for cinemas to staff and sustain and all that kind of thing?
Well, it does feel like we're going to some sort of subscription model. I don't know if it'll be unlimited. But I do think the subscription model is certainly more cost-effective for consumers depending on the rate of frequency with which you're going to see movies. And it's not like AMC rolled out only subscription. Like, you can still do, if you just do one movie every 6 months like you, you can still just get the one movie ticket and you're fine, you know? Mm-hmm. Which, that sort of hybrid model is probably the way it'll be for the foreseeable future. I don't know. I am also interested in the what I think is an innovative use of technology here. It's a little bit restrictive, but just so you know, and anybody who hasn't used it, which turns out there are a lot, there is a MoviePass app that you get on your phone, and you have to be about 100 yards within the physical location of the theater, and you find the movie or the theater and the movie that you want to see. So I'm going to my local movie theater on the app.
So it's doing it via GPS and going, this is the theater near you. What do you want to see at that theater?
Right.
That,
well, and you can check. You can see all of the theaters because you can check showtimes and stuff. But you have to pick on the app your theater that you're close to, and then you can check into it. So I'm going to check into this 7:20 p.m. showtime of Crazy Rich Asians, a movie I have no interest in seeing.
Okay.
And if I tap check in now, it's going to say, nah, dude, you're not close enough to the theater.
Yeah.
No, actually, no, it didn't. Well, that's great. But it does say, they must have changed that too. Surprise, surprise, but more changes.
It takes the ticket price off your debit card, right? Off your MoviePass debit card.
Yeah, exactly. So it's telling me you have 30 minutes to use your MoviePass card. That just activated the debit card that they mailed me. And you can only go to one a day. Actually, it was never unlimited. So I know I said that. It's seemingly unlimited though, because I don't know why you would want to go to two in one day anyway. Except if it's like a Saturday, Sunday afternoon double feature, which I have done before. Not the double feature where you steal the movie, the one where you pay for both.
Or if it's the new, pick a big movie, the new Star Wars, and you want to see it twice. You want to see it in the morning and then again in the afternoon with a different set of friends, or you want to see it a second time to get all the bits you missed the first time, whatever. Like, I'm sure there'd be people who'd be up for that.
Well, yeah, and that was another change that they implemented within the last couple of months. You can't see the same movie twice with MoviePass, which that actually was more of a showstopper for me than the three per month. Because what if I want to see Avengers Infinity War three times a month?
Yeah, why do that? Like, I don't.
It's because people like me will go see Infinity War five times, and they don't care. They have to pay the $11.50 every time. It doesn't change for them. So cost-wise, it makes sense from a business perspective to not let people do that.
What one thing I don't understand about the service, maybe you can help me out, is why are they, if they've got an app that you use to check in and select your movie and whatever, and then it gives you a time limit, why do they then mail people physical cards? Why can't the check-in process and the payment process all just happen in app, and then you just walk into the theater, show them a barcode or show them some kind of receipt at the ticket box, and or scan it at a kiosk, even better, and head through to the cinema?
A couple of reasons. One, MoviePass still has to pay the theater, which is why they thought of debit cards. Two, you still have to get a movie ticket, which is why they thought of debit cards. And three, I looked this up. It actually is Cinemia, or however you say that. There's an extra I, like Craig said. They are not using debit cards, as far as I understand it. And so they made that change recently as well.
The kiosk option could certainly do the movie tickets. Like, if you scanned your barcode or whatever in a machine, it could print you out a movie ticket. That wouldn't be an issue.
Except that the theaters have to have barcode scanners, which they don't.
But they could.
No.
And it would mean less.
No, dude. For this to work, MoviePass has to make as little change to the theater's working system as possible.
Yeah. I'm thinking more from AMC's perspective, but yeah, for MoviePass, it would be too prohibitive for sure.
Sure. So that's why you swipe the card at the kiosk and you get your ticket printed out. I don't know how Cinemia, or however you say it, does it at my local theaters, or if they even work. I haven't tried it.
Because that just seemed like, when I was reading through the history of MoviePass, I must admit, I got to the bit where it said delays in shipping physical cards. And I was like, well, duh. if you have an idea that sounds good to enough people and it takes off real quick, then you've all of a sudden got a problem of how you're going to get this done. It's the same problem people have with Kickstarter campaigns, you know, and they promise stuff, they give a deadline, and then it blows out by months and months and months, and people get cranky. So you just got to be, it's something to, I guess, to be aware of if you're going to involve some kind of physical system as part of your process, that could be an issue. But
the other unexplainably restrictive thing is the checking in. Why do I need to be close to the theater to check in? That makes no sense. Also, I can't check into a movie that's tomorrow. You can't pre-order. which is crazy. Oh. So you basically won't see it the day of unless you get there at 6 a.m. or whatever, right? And you still might not even because everybody did pre-order on Fandango. So that was a pretty significant limitation as well. And I don't really know why they haven't addressed things like that, but they haven't. At least
can you choose your seats through it and all that kind of thing?
You can at theaters that have reserved seating. You just, when you buy the ticket with your MoviePass card, you also indicate which seat you want. But the theater has to have that. That's not something MoviePass ever did. They just fall in line with whatever the theater did. So even though, like in Memphis, all the theaters are owned by basically the same person, they're all Malco theaters, whatever that means, they don't all have reserved seating. So the ones that have it, MoviePass lets you use it. The ones that don't, it doesn't do anything extra for you.
Hey, this is Derek just jumping in here to talk about our sponsor this week, which is Missional Wear, your Reformed theology gift shop. Missional Wear prints apparel, drinkware, and accessories with beautiful artwork of historical creeds, quotes, and faces of various reformers. If you need to spice up your look, you can head over to Missional Wear and get and browse all the apparel they have over there. They've got t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, shirts for the ladies, shirts for the kids. They've got ties and bow ties featuring Calvin and Spurgeon and way more. They've got things for you to drink out of, things for you to put your Bible in, all sorts of stuff. Missional Wear has been making things since 2010, and so they have an impressive library that will appeal to any theologian. So to grab some stuff for yourself, or even just to browse their gorgeous designs, check them out at missionalwear.com to get your lifestyle on mission to the glory of God. Thanks to Missional Wear for sponsoring Tech Reformation this week.
So I've got two questions for you. The first one, you mentioned capitalism. We've talked about a company that has a good idea, but doesn't seem to be sort of nailing it in the execution and has obviously had lots of ups and downs.
Yep.
Do you think that with companies that start out and enter sort of a new space for them like this, I think it's the CEO, the Mitch Slow guy, has had previous experience working at Netflix. So I feel like he's kind of been in the industry, but maybe not exactly in this particular space. Although there's also been a Videodroid and some other places. Do you think that there's an element of greed that when the idea is first thought up and they kind of work towards an initial launch. Do you think it's a case of sort of startup companies getting excited and then getting greedy about what could come without thinking about all the potential problems, like, you know, delays and stuff like that? Or do you think that's a like one of the pros of capitalism, that you can launch a product before it's absolutely perfect and sort of get some runs on the board and get some users and build it up over time? Is there like a negative bent to that, or is that actually a positive of the way the system currently is working?
Well, I don't know for sure if anyone's greedy because I don't know their heart. So it varies from person to person. I'm sure there are perfectly godly businessmen out there and women out there who are just trying to provide a better experience for the consumer, and they found a way to do that is profitable and therefore like actually sustainable and doable. So, yeah, that's very possible. I'm sure that happens all the time. And I'm glad that happens. Are there people out there who are just trying to make a quick buck? Oh, sure. That happens too. I think with MoviePass...
Do you think maybe this could be one of those cases? Well, hard to know because we don't know their hearts, like you said.
But I think with MoviePass in particular, it's probably three things in order. One, not being omniscient.
Yeah.
They just didn't know they were going to run into all these problems.
That's true.
Two, poor planning. It doesn't seem like they've had one cohesive story the whole time about what's the value add and what are we going to do if XYZ fails or is really difficult. It's basically just been very reactive. We're going to have to figure out how to stop bleeding so much money, which, that goes back to one. They didn't know they were going to get 3 million people in 4 months. So how do you plan for that?
Mm-hmm.
And then three is maybe what you said, depending on the person and the state of their heart.
I'm not accusing Mitch Lowe of anything. I'm saying in general with these companies that have an idea that's kind of unique and could be a game changer, I guess you could call it. I just sometimes wonder, have they gone into it? Maybe it's a thing of going into it too quickly, like launching too quickly. And maybe that can be fueled by just wanting to get some dollars in the door. But that may not at all be the case for this company. And it might not be the case even for the majority. For a lot of them, it's probably just, we've got a product, we've got it working to a degree, now let's see what it does once we launch.
But the route that produces the fruit of failure in the MoviePass mm-hmm. story is not necessarily greed. Like, it could be, you know, maybe it's love of money. Like, sure, maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's fear of man. Like, maybe they just want to, you know, say that they left their legacy or left their mark on the world or, you know, change the world like Steve Jobs always talked about. I don't know. Yeah. Or maybe they just wanted to provide a great experience for the consumer. I like to think it's that one. But I just don't know.
I think you're right about the planning thing. I was going to mention the 5 P's. Do you know the 5 P's?
I thought there were 7 P's. Prior proper planning prevents pitiful poor performance.
Yeah, well, that's a nicer one. And you can probably add an 8th. Let's go for an 8th P. No, just kidding. So my other question to you, should we move on to my second question?
Sure.
My other question to you is, what, in your eyes as a current user, what does MoviePass need to do or what do you think they should do to keep you on their service or to basically fix the problems they've been having? What would be the end goal as far as you can see?
That's a hard question to answer for multiple reasons. One, I'm probably not going to be a user for much longer. Two,
that's why you're the best person to answer. If I was on their customer relations team, I'd be wanting to know from you, what can we do to keep you? As someone who's thinking about jumping off, is it that needs to change?
And the second reason that's hard to answer is because I'm not omniscient and I haven't planned very well either, right? So when I say they haven't done it, don't expect that means I have. So I can only really answer this question relative to things I've already experienced them changing. Mm-hmm. And I would say if you had to choose between things like peak pricing and limiting movie selections versus things like limiting number of movies per month or limiting rewatching and stuff like that, I can tell you which ones I'd care a lot more about. And so, like, I don't want to pay peak pricing. I already paid for the service. That shouldn't have been a solution. I don't think they should have limited rewatches, although I understand why they did. I think if they would have just come in and said, you're only getting one or two movies a month, probably not one, but even with one, you're still paying less than the price of the movie ticket, right? And for a lot of people, that would work. I know that with the other service, whose name I can't pronounce, they've offered more plans. So everybody kind of covets simple pricing in the tech world, and I understand how it's nicer to be able to tell a non-complex story and make sense of it, you know, in an elevator. Sure.
Yeah.
But you can also provide better services when you do complicate things a little bit. So maybe they should have come out with
a pricing model.
Yeah. Maybe they should have come out with one a month, two a month, three a month. And then the people who really needed it can just pay more like the other service is doing. That would have been more sustainable as well. So I realize they want to keep the less than $10 a month price because that's what brought everyone. They don't have to abandon it. They just can't. Yeah, I just don't think you can change what you sold people so dramatically and so much over such a short period of time and expect them to just stick around.
Yeah, because it comes across as kind of dishonesty or something.
Yeah, like I think so.
It's like dishonesty across a long period of time, though. So
whether it's intended or not, that's what it comes off as.
Yeah, and you've got the opportunity to see the changes as they happen and jump off at any time as long as there's no exit fees or whatever. But yeah, I know what you mean. As a consumer, it would feel kind of icky. I think it's good that they're trying to do this. I think this kind of thing is good maybe for that, for the movie-going public in general. But I think, I don't know, if I was living in America at the moment, I would probably be tempted to go with the AMC version of this. Maybe rather than the one that's had all the changes and problems along the way. But, you know, I guess we'll see what happens in, what are we now, July, August? Let's see what happens in November 2018. They shift again.
It will be an interesting one to follow if it goes on much longer. I'm reminded of a passage in the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus talks about building houses on sand and on rock and how, you know, the one who doesn't plan ahead of time to build his house on the proper foundation is going to suffer quite badly. And I think this story of MoviePass illustrates well that biblical passage and principle. But we shouldn't forget that Jesus is talking about eternal life and salvation, and that you can build your house on the rock by repenting of your sins and putting your trust in him. So with that, that concludes our chronicling of the MoviePass story.
That is always the best place to end an episode.
If you want to connect with us, you can do so by jumping in our Slack workspace. Sign up at slack.techreformation.com.
You can also hit us up on Twitter at TechReformation or visit our website at techreformation.com to search for past shows.
This has been Tech Reformation. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. And I ain't looking back.
Choice, and I ain't looking back.